Welcome to the Property Lovers Podcast. I'm your host, Dominique Grubisher. This podcast series is all about giving you a competitive edge in your property journey. We'll be discussing little known strategies, tools, and information to help you add value and create wealth through property. Now, obviously, we don't know you or your unique position, so this is not financial or investment advice. It is information of a general nature, and you should always seek professional advice as to your situation before you ever invest in anything. But if you want to play a bigger game in property and want to use property as your vehicle to create wealth and, more importantly, freedom, then you're in the right place. Let's do this. Let's get started. In this episode, we're going to look at interest rates. Why are they important when it comes to all things property, and where are we headed with rates? That'll give us an insight into the market, and it's one of the biggest levers that governments pull when they want to impact an economy. And the knock-on effect is that it impacts a property market. So let's go back to basic. What are interest rates? Interest rates are effectively the price of money. They are the cost of borrowing money, and they're the reward that savers get for having money. Now, historically, and I'm talking even pre-pandemic, we have had very low rates in Australia. Rates were kind of, you were paying in the 7% before we had the global financial crisis, and then rates went way down. You may remember in 2008, early 2009, they were cutting rates by 0.5% each time, and they didn't really rise very high from there. So we've had historically low rates for like nearly 14 years. When the pandemic hit, interest rates went even lower. So monetary policy is government policy that relates to the cost of money and the money supply. So it's like supply and demand. When there's more money around, the price of money is lower. That's like a booming economy. And when there's less money around, when things are tighter and they want to cool an economy down, then they'll raise interest rates and they'll stop printing money. They'll siphon off the money supply. So when things were really bad post GFC and even post pandemic, and during the pandemic, they printed a lot of money, or they bought a whole lot of government bonds. And what they then did was they lowered interest rates. So coming into the pandemic, they were at 0.25%, like 0.25%. That's really, really low. But then they took them even lower to what they called emergency levels. And emergency levels were like 0.1%. They said, we'll never ever take them to zero. So they took them as low as they possibly could, which meant really cheap money, which meant a whole lot of people didn't get any reward for saving, did they? What's the point of putting your money, hoarding it and putting it in a term deposit? Nothing's really risky. Everyone was getting really rich. The share market was soaring. Property prices were going up, and there was no yield for keeping cash. So what happened was a lot of people went out and bought property. It was a preferred asset class because banks were lending really easily. During the pandemic, they actually said to banks, lend more. In 2019, APRA, which is the government regulatory body, the watchdog for banks, they said to banks, you know what, you don't have to assess people as strictly. First of all, banks were in trouble during the Royal Commission because they lent too easily, and they called it irresponsible lending when they had a Royal Commission into banking in 2018. Then in the aftermath of that in 2019, they said, that's okay. You don't have to assess people at the limit. It was standard to, if you applied for a loan, they wouldn't assess you at what you'd actually be paying on that loan. They'd assess you at 7.25%. In other words, that was a stress testing limit. Can you afford repayments with interest rates at 7.25%? And if you could, then away you went, you got a loan. In 2019, they brought that rate down. They said that they just have to assess you at 2.5% above what the loan you're going for. So if they were looking at, and you remember in the pandemic, people were paying 2%, you could have an interest rate with a 1 in front of it. So what they were doing is saying, okay, If you're currently paying 2%, we'll assess you at 4.5%. And if you can make repayments at 4.5%, then happy days, you can have the loan. Now, of course, since then, we've seen interest rates go up really, really fast. We've had 6 consecutive rate rises, and 4 of them have been 0.5%. The last rate rise was 0.25%. So it was a smaller rise than expected. And what they forecast was that we're coming to an end of rate rises. The Reserve Bank have put interest rates where they need to be, and it's going to moderate and cool the economy and stop inflation the way that they want it to work. That may be a thing of the past now. What applied in this fast-paced global economy, what was a fact and what was the data they were working on earlier in October, is probably not going to be the same data going into November. So a few reasons for that. Post-pandemic, remember we had supply chains locked up. We had, you know, ships sitting at docks with, that couldn't leave the country because they were in lockdown. So global trade dried up, and it was quite difficult to get that engine rolling again. It's getting more momentum now, but coming out of the pandemic, things were very tight. Supply and demand, again, if you can't get the supplies in, the price goes way up. And that's what happened with construction costs. And obviously that affects the housing market. We saw a lot of construction firms go under, and that's still a tight market. They've gone up, 20-30%. The cost of buildings, if you can even get the supplies. There's 6-12 months waiting lists to get the materials they need to build. And again, because that industry pretty much went bust, there's a shortage of labor, and time is money, as we know, when it comes to property. So that's playing out. It's not just the pandemic, though. There's a war in Ukraine, as we know, and that has impacted energy prices because we've all kiboshed and we've got trade sanctions against Russia in relation to that. And Russia supplied a lot of the world's energy, especially to Europe. So the cost of electricity, cost of petrol, everything has gone through the roof and going to get worse. So we had our budget last week, and the Treasurer said more than a 50% increase in energy prices in store for Australians. And his language was quite harsh. He said that where Australians are bracing for harder times ahead, we know that it's going to get worse before it gets better. And he said things like that we're in for darker days and we've got to tighten our belts. And he said that the global economy, and these were his words, is teetering on a knife's edge. So not only is that the aftermath of the pandemic, a war in Ukraine, but we've also had that La Nina event, especially on the east coast of Australia. Very, very heavy rains. Not 1 year, not 2 years, which is unprecedented, but 3 years in a row now, which has meant major flooding. And we look back to the start of the pandemic, we had, a major drought. So it's feast or famine. But those events too have impacted, crops, supply of food, and a lot of resources are being redirected just to building people basic housing. It sounds like catastrophizing when we talk about a developed economies in the world, but what we are definitely seeing, and news out of Europe, is that people in Romania and other European nations, they're coming into winter now, that war still ongoing in Ukraine for a winter climate, people are burning rubbish, chopping their own firewood. They just don't have enough energy. In Europe, they're rationing firewood as a really scarce commodity. So, yeah, a lot of problems in the world. It has meant runaway inflation everywhere. And Australia's not immune to that. So they measure our inflation figures backward looking, but quarterly. So the latest figures just came out last week and they have inflation at 7.3% in the September quarter. In the quarter before that, it was 6.1%. They expected it to go to 7% in the September quarter, but it's actually come in at 7.3%. So prices are going up faster than they wanted or than they expected. The budget, the federal budget, the government spending that they've put in place for the next 6 months or so and forecasting ahead for times ahead, they've said it's going to be bad for 2 years. Inflation's going to go higher. Interest rates will have to go higher. Government spending probably wasn't cut back as much as they thought that it could have or should have been. So that will be next year's budget. But what the Treasurer did say is we're going to have to rely on more government intervention, and that could mean monetary policy. So fiscal policy is government spending. If they spend more, it's more jobs, they're pumping more money into the economy, it's the bellows under the economy. If they cut back their spending, if they don't give us tax breaks, and if they spend less, it means that there's less money in circulation, which means our economy shrinks. They're having to do that to slow down inflation. So the other tool that they have is monetary policy, setting interest rates. And that's going to take most of the impact from that. So as I said, we had 6 rate rises. 4 of those have been half a percentage point rises. The last rate rise, start of October, was just 0.25%. A lot of economists had predicted 0.5%. And they said, oh, okay, the Reserve Bank have come out and they've said, look, we'll just wait and see. Like, we've gone hard, we've gone fast, and it's a lagging effect. This will start to bite people now, and as they come off fixed rates, they'll feel the pain, they'll spend less, and that should taper off inflation. So it was more of a wait and see, each way bet decision. And now they're saying, well, the talk is that it is worse than they thought. Inflation's higher than they thought. They've got 2 more rate rises left this year. January, the Reserve Bank doesn't meet at all traditionally, so not going to see any change in rates in January, and then reassessing come February. So it will depend largely on what happens elsewhere in the world, but rates are definitely going to go up, and most economists agree 2 more rate rises this year. It's just a question of how big they are. So recently, other reserve banks in the world also started tapering. They thought Canada would have a 0.75% rise like they've been doing in America. That only had 0.5%. Very much wait and see, month to month game. But what we do know is rates are going to go higher. There will be more rate rises, and it's going to cause more mortgage stress. So we've already seen house prices fall on the back of these 6 rate rises. The biggest fall this month, they said, was in the Sydney market, which has gone down 10%. That's massive. Mind you, it went up nearly 30% in some areas, but it's still a big jump for prices to fall 10%. And we know that Sydney leads the way with other states as well. So what does that mean for us as property lovers? Whole lot of things. It's definitely a buyer's market, so be really conservative with your offers, with your numbers, if you're renovating and flipping or building, with your construction costs, because prices are going higher, interest rates are going higher, sellers are going to be more desperate, and you just have to leave yourself enough wriggle room. And that means also in your estimations of what you can sell for. So measure twice, cut once, I always say. Make sure you run your numbers really carefully. I know a lot in our community were allowing, for example, 10% contingency buffers with their renovation costings and their building. Now they're allowing 15% to 20%. When they looked at the estimate of what they could resell something for, they looked at like the lower end of agent appraisals. Now they're looking at the lower end and taking off 10% on top of that. So it's a numbers game, and you never get into trouble if you give yourself a lot of room. So probably the worst is already priced in. When people start talking how bad it is and how it's going to get worse, that fear becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. The flip side of that is when we're all happy and we're in a bubble and we don't expect the bad stuff. So I think many people have priced in all of that negativity now, and you should too. Assume the worst. So be quite competitive in your offers. If you're taking 10% off your resale price, you need to take 10 or 15% off what you're going to buy it for, because as we know in property, you make your money when you buy. So interest rates are the number one lever that affects residential real estate values, as well as the whole market itself. Because it's driven by what people can borrow. If the bank will lend me $1 million, I'll happily pay you $1 million for your house. If they won't lend me that, if they'll only lend me 800 and my repayments are going to be a lot higher, I'm only going to pay you 700 or whatever the case may be. So we just have to adjust accordingly. What did apply this time last year just doesn't apply now. It's a massive reset, and agents can tell you what they want. Sellers can say what they want. That's all well and good, but the market reigns supreme, and the market will tell you what things are worth, and they're worth what you can afford to pay and still profit and do well in your property endeavors. So that's it for interest rates. Still no clear path out of this. Rates will peak, they always do, and they will fall. Where that happens is very much in the laps of the gods, with everything playing out in the global economy right now. So be very careful, build in big buffers, negotiate competitively, and it's probably the market we've all been waiting for as property lovers, a buyer's market. So go forth and do great things. If you're a part of our property lovers community and you're really enjoying this podcast, then leave us a review below and tell us where you're listening in from and what you'd like to know more about. If you're enjoying this podcast, we want to invite you to join the Property Lovers Facebook group. To find the group in Facebook, just search for Property Lovers. You'll see the group banner, which has the word Property Lovers Hub on it. It's a community for property lovers in Australia. And just like this podcast, it's been created to give you a competitive advantage so you can get superior results in property. Please come and join us today. That's it for today, but really looking forward to giving you more tools, more strategies, more support, and a competitive advantage when it comes to property in our next episode.